This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Tan Chung Han and myself, Sharad Kutin, with you with the top business stories of the day. A quick reminder, after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we're going to be speaking to Shireen Sharizadatta Abdul Ghani, CEO of Talent Corp Malaysia. In fact, I'll be speaking to her. And we're taking up the very kind of hot potato of brain drain and particular programs that Talent Corp Malaysia has, including the returning expert program.
Experts program.
Mm-hmm. And also, but what I think where they in fact spend a bulk of their energies, the bulk of their budget is on graduate employability. And so the question is, you know, why Talent Corp has come into this picture, why the universities took their eye off employability in the, you know, the shaping of their curricula and in sort of thinking about the needs of not just the students, but also the needs of the economy in shaping education, higher education.
Right. And I think that's fascinating because I didn't know that the bulk of their budget is spent on, you know, improving the employability of local graduates versus, you know, we tend to associate Talent Corp and their mandate with trying to bring those Malaysians who are experts, who are highly skilled and who are abroad, you know, trying to entice them back home, because that was one of the headlines that we discussed last week, right? That the number of those who have been approved under that REP or that returning experts program, that number has apparently halved from 2013 to 2016. And so we were intensely discussing, right, you know,
yeah,
whether Talent Corp is doing enough to sweeten that deal in order for them to come home.
Yeah, you know, what is always surprising when you get into these discussions, you learn so much about not just what is out there, but some of the real constraints. So there are about 150,000 people identified in the diaspora, meaning Malaysians who have left, who still retain the Malaysian citizenship, right? As opposed to the many Malaysians, hundreds of thousands of Malaysians who have left and who have renounced their citizenship. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that Talent Corp is dealing with. In some sense, the only thing they could do is to perhaps prevent people from leaving and renouncing, you know, and somehow in changing the story or the narrative of what Malaysia is. But it's a fascinating discussion, a lot of emotive issues, and that's after the 8 a.m. Back to the not so much emotive, but really important for the legitimacy of many governments around the world.
It is exciting. It depends on who.
The China Belt and Road. Yeah, but you know, and I've just tweeted out a link to a piece of analysis about this in headline, you know, Belt and Have We Gone Down This Road Before story, which is, you know, Japan's initiative some 20 years that is similar in scope and also similar in its motivations, right? So China needing to somehow deal with lowering demand domestically, how does it create opportunities for its companies, its businesses, and of course going global in this particular way. Also dissenting views coming, as we mentioned earlier, from India about this unsustainable debt burden of many of the countries participating in this. But we'll get into that later on. After the 8:30 news, we're having an expert come online. We're going to be talking to her about precisely what all this means. Now, let's look at some of the headlines, and many of the headlines in Malaysian newspapers today talk about the 9 MOUs.
All right, so we got to bring it back home here. 9 MOUs, you know, with a value of over 30 billion ringgit. So these MOUs were signed over the weekend. Now, if you recall, back in November of last year, when Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib visited China, back then there were deals or MOUs signed between Malaysian and Chinese companies as well. Back then, it was 144 billion ringgit. Again, that was November 2016. Here we are just over the weekend, an additional 30 billion more. You know, so going through some of these, you know, list here, some of the projects or the MOUs that had some bigger or heftier price tags would be, say, this strategic alliance agreement to develop the robotic future city project in Johor.
So we have Stepford Wives in Johor. Is that what it is?
I have no idea, but it's going to cost some 3.5 billion. million US dollars. You've got a project in Sarawak, you know, you've got various projects. But I think going through this list of 9 MOUs, perhaps the one that we would most be familiar with would be this JV, this joint venture between AirAsia with China Everbright Group and also the Henan Government Working Group. And the idea is to establish a low-cost carrier in China. So I think that's pretty interesting. And I believe we have a clip here by AirAsia's Tony Fernandez talking about this MOU.
I think one of the great things about this joint venture is that Henan government has allowed us to open an LCC terminal. And it's been great that the Chinese government and Henan government understand that low cost is different from full service.
That's AirAsia Group CEO Tan Sri Tony Fernandez talking about the perhaps the birth of AirAsia China. Just to go into some details on this JV here. So it's, like he said, to operate that low-cost aviation business based in Zhengzhou. I believe that sounds pronounced. Zhengzhou. That's the capital of Henan province. I did a quick check on Google Maps. So it's kind of between Shanghai and Beijing, all right, in between. But further inland, so central China. So you have that part of the JV. Also, the idea is to invest in aviation infrastructure. They also want to have an aviation academy, all right, to train pilots, crew, engineers, etc., as well as maintenance, repair, and overhaul. That's MRO facilities to service aircraft. So okay, pretty exciting stuff.
Okay, so your inability to pronounce Chinese names just reminds me of one of the items on this list, which includes the supply of bananas and tropical fruit to China. Some 1.53 billion ringgit worth because you know, yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
That's right.
Sorry, Han, I had to do that. I couldn't resist.
I would like to blame my parents for this, you know, but then since, you know, we are a day after Mother's Day. I shall refrain.
Okay.
I am what I am.
Not a yam, a banana.
Banana,
okay.
Speaking of vegetables, how do we segue out of this?
We can come back to that list.
Fruits.
Do you want to look
fruit
at some of the other things on the list? Because, in fact, there are some other big ticket items, right? Including that methanol and derivatives project for Sarawak. Again, very important when looking at development in Malaysia to have them spread equally across the federation so that there's, you know, more even development going on.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so you have some of these MOUs involving Johor, you know, Sarawak, the Malacca Gateway as well as what's happening in Malaysia. But perhaps one of the notable absentees from that list of 9 MOUs is the Bandar Malaysia deal, right?
Right. So going into this was really big because the failure of the Bandar Malaysia deal, last week, you know, just making headlines day after day. And then, of course, the search for a kind of white knight to come to the rescue. And, you know, Melton and also Wanda Dalian were named as possible white knights. That has happened. I don't know. I understand the Prime Minister did meet with the people from Wanda, but then the question is, did they reach an agreement?
Right. So no MOU was signed, although you've got the Dalian Wanda group, you know, saying, well, they have expressed an interest, you know. I mean, ultimately, you know, at least in their eyes, the Bandar Malaysia deal, you know, and the Bandar Malaysia project holds plenty of potential there. But, you know, as it stands, they have yet to sign a deal, you know. So here we are still without, you know, a white knight, so to speak. But I think it's interesting also because if you go through some of this list. You've got C-REC, China Railway Corp, who have been involved in some other deals. So it looks like, you know, the China-Malaysia love affair, you know, is or does still involve the likes of C-REC or CREC, China Railway Engineering Corp, you know. But then where does that leave the likes of Iskandar Waterfront Holdings, right? Because, you know, they were part of that original JV to develop Bandar Malaysia. You know, they were the ones who won that 60% equity stake in Bandar Malaysia. So that now has been declared null and void. Where does this leave, you know, the Bandar Malaysia project? Who will be that developer moving in? Dalian Wanda has expressed an interest, but still no pen to paper.
Yeah, in fact, the man who leads it, it's China's richest man, Wang Jianlin, said that, you know, we shouldn't be so worried about the lack of, you know, ink to paper. And that's echoed by the prime minister as well, saying that that news of a deal will come. And he's trying to reassure markets. I mean, the question is whether the bad news coming out from Bandar Malaysia will have a knock-on effect. You know, this feeling that many of these projects look good on paper, but really will suffer in terms of execution.
Right, you know, twists and turns. And although, to be fair, you know, some of the media reports said that the deal between the Ministry of, TRX City, and also that Iskandar Waterfront Holdings and CREC, you know, that had not turned unconditional yet. No, so they were able to then declare it null and void, apparently due to some non-payment obligations. Payment obligations that were not met by the likes of Iskandar Waterfront Holdings and CREC. You know, but nevertheless, when you see how CREC is, apparently they've signed a deal, an MOU to build an oil terminal at Asia Petroleum Hub. They've also got this deal with TT Jaya. So their name was still bandied about over the weekend. But what is missing, you know, who is going to take their place when it comes to that Bandar Malaysia project?
Also in the news, DRB HICOM and Geely. And so those two names coming together.
Yeah, once again, you know, that relationship between China and Malaysia perhaps being put to the test here. So according to this report by The Star, DRB HICOM is apparently set to hold a meeting. They're apparently holding a board meeting sometime this week to discuss that potential sale of a stake, perhaps a minority stake in its loss-making business. You know, so this has been an ongoing, a long drawn out affair, you know, because Proton obviously needs to identify that strategic partner sooner rather than later. The two front runners were either PSA, you know, or Geely, and you know, I mean, Geely had even threatened to pull out due to some apparent flip flopping on the part of DRB HICOM. You know, whether they're able to look past that and again put pen to paper to save Proton, that's going to be a question mark here. Now, this story is interesting because it also comes at a time when you've got in the Edge Weekly a report whereby apparently Proton has gotten yet more government aid to the tune of some 1.7 billion ringgit. This is apparently a line of credit that is set to be rolled out in stages and is seen as a stopgap measure. So perhaps the latest installment in what has been billions of ringgit of taxpayer money, you know, and other emergency funds that are needed to help prop up Proton.
So it's understood from reports that Proton will not draw down the whole sum at once,
right,
but instead the money will be used to tide it over as DRB HICOM secures a strategic partner. So, you know, as back to what you were saying earlier.
Yeah, you know, certainly. So again, this needs to happen sooner rather than later because, you know, just going to some numbers here on Proton's performance. As of April last year, Proton managed to sell about 25,000 units. That's last month. You know, that is a bit of a recovery, you know, 5.4% more than sales in April 2016. But when you look at 2016 as a whole, they actually fell down to third place behind Honda. So you have a foreign car maker actually selling more cars than Proton here in the Malaysian space. You know, so how long can that trend last?
Yeah, Han, you always mention this, you know, the question of public monies being spent on these projects that are loss-making. I mean, in some segments of the economy, we see governments coming in and say, well, they're too big to fail, right? That's one argument. In this case, is it a question of too big to fail or too sayang to fail? I mean, what is it that justifies the spending of public monies on these companies?
Well, because you got to consider the social costs, right? Because if this is any other private entity and you say, all right, we're just going to pull the plug, you've been, you know, wasting too much money, bye-bye. Well, then you've got tens of thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of Malaysians who might be out of a job here. So, you know, do you tell these tens of thousands of fellow Malaysians that, you know what, you'll be out of a job, you'll be out of a livelihood? Why? Because we got to protect the national coffers.
But what is that?
Is that a digestible message?
Yeah, right? But if that money was taken in creating new jobs in a way that in enterprises that were sustainable, wouldn't that be much better?
And perhaps that money can be used towards Talent Corp, whom we'll be listening to after the 8 o'clock news.
Okay, that's coming up, as Han just said, after the 8 o'clock news. You've been listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.